You're listening to the Quince Podcast.
We're going to a fifth day of a test for the first time in this series. India 98 for 2 at stumps on day 4 of the SCG test. Need another 309 runs to win the match, but we're staying optimistic. My guest Ayaz Memon is with us. Ayaz, your thoughts on how the match is poised?
Well, I think the two wickets which fell in the last half hour of play, and both the openers were looking so good. Rohit Sharma actually looking very authoritative. Shubman Gill showing a lot of application and I thought a lot of composure because these were very daunting circumstances. And after, you know, putting up a very good partnership, it was a promising partnership, promised to fight back, and then to lose both of them in the last 20-30 minutes has been a severe setback. Not the least because on the fifth day, the pitch it's not misbehaved badly as yet, but it could get worse. It can't get better. And the other thing, of course, is that both Rishabh Pant and Jadeja are on the injured list. Now, they can come out to bat if necessary, but let's not forget that both are injured. So, you know, that's going to be playing on the minds of not just the Indian dressing room, but also the Australians who will think that they've got maybe 5-6 wickets to take and the other two can, you know, they don't need to bother too much about.
I'm Menra Dorji.
And I'm Ayaz Memon.
And you're listening to the Aussie Challenge podcast on The Quint, powered by Farm Easy and Medibuddy.
Okay, I'll take you through the scores before I go back to Ayaz with my questions. Australia started the day on 103 for 2 with Labuschagne and Steve Smith, both going on to make their half centuries. Manus was the first wicket to fall on the day, out to Saini on 73. Steve Smith was looking strong and was into his 80s when R. Ashwin restarted their little rivalry and trapped him LBW on 81. Tim Payne and Cameron Green then added 104 runs for the sixth wicket, with Green also scoring his maiden test half century. He made 84 of 132 and was the last wicket to fall before tea, which was when Tim Payne declared the innings at 312 for 6, setting India a 407 run target. Rohit and Shubman gave India a solid start, making 71 for the first wicket before Shubman edged one to Payne off Hazelwood on 31. Rohit scored his first half century as an opener overseas but then lost his wicket to Cummins soon after. Rahane and Pujara are at the crease. India 98 for 2 at stumps, need 309 runs to win the match. I ask, is it possible?
I mean, nothing is impossible. This is sport and we've seen it happen in the past. India has, you know, we all remember the Kolkata match of 2001 when Dravid and Lakshman just turned the match around on its head, batting through an entire day. But, you know, having followed on. But remember, in that match, the last innings was played by Australia and Harbhajan Singh just ran through the side along with Sachin Tendulkar. Then there's the other instance where India have actually chased 400 runs in the fourth innings. That's against the West Indies in 1975-76 with Gavaskar and Vishwanath making 100. So it's not that it's not been done, but it's a very, you know, infrequent, very rare occurrence that teams chase 400 to win. So the odds are stacked against India, and not the least because, as I mentioned, they've lost two batsmen who looked in very good form and in complete control. And then they've got two on the injured list, which is Pant and Jadeja. So severe handicap. So a lot depends, heck of a lot depends on how Rahane and Pujara bat out. They'll have to bat out maybe not just the first session entirely, but even maybe 50% or 60% of the second session for India to believe they can get away with this, you know, with a draw in this match. But of course, you know, as I mentioned earlier, anything is possible in sport and especially in cricket.
Yes, and how the tables have turned for Chiteshwar Pujara. Yesterday, copping a lot of flack for his slow/intentless innings. Now, you know, here everyone is just wishing he plays another one of those.
Well, you know, there are ways and ways. You have to put it into perspective. One way of looking at it is that had, you know, some urgency been shown as it was today by the opening pair, India have been scoring at the rate of almost 3 runs and over this time. But earlier it was 2 runs, 2.1, 2.2. So maybe this, you know, India's score could have been 40, 50 runs more and then the equation changes. So I wouldn't compare it that way. But yes, certainly Pujara's obdurate defense and his immense concentration powers will be needed tomorrow if India have to bat out the day, because it's almost 100 overs that the Australians have.
Okay, you mentioned Jadeja and Pant. I just wanted to clarify this. So both of them didn't come out on the field when India were fielding. Injury aside, if they are fit enough, do the rules allow them to come out and bat?
No, they are allowed to come and bat because they are injured. They are not bowled out. What happens is that if bowlers get injured or go and sit in the dressing room and then come out, they have to spend some time in the middle before getting to bowl again. The reason being that, you know, say fast bowlers, they'll bowl a 5-6 over hostile spell, full throttle, and then go and put their feet up in the dressing room, then come back again after half hour rest and start bowling again. That is disallowed. The umpires then say, okay, you spent half hour, 40 minutes, 1 hour, whatever in the dressing room. So you have to spend that much time on the field before you get a chance to bowl. That's how the laws work.
Okay. And Rohit Sharma, 52 of, 98 today, a lot of people had talked about how all of his great numbers, even as an opener in tests, had come, at home. So they all did doubt if he could replicate the same sort of form in Australia. We, of course, know he only came and joined the team for this match and he'd be playing the next as well. But a half century here, so he's looking good, right? I mean, sort of proving his critics wrong.
Very impressive, Mendra. Very, very impressive. He's stylish. He's authoritative. Some of the, strokes on the offside were, just thing of beauty. I'm sure after watching this half century and even the 22 he made in the first innings, he wasn't hassled or hustled by the Australian pace bowlers. He looked in complete control even then. So tells us what India has missed in the earlier two test matches. But of course, he fell playing the hook. I think he was trapped there. I wouldn't put too much blame on him because that's the way he plays and the hook shot can be very, very productive. It has been for him. So it's one of those days when, on another day, he might have cleared the boundary and got 6 runs. But I think that Rohit Sharma as an opener establishing himself overseas is a big, big gain for India.
Okay, also I do know India need 309 runs now to win the match. But, we must talk about India's bowler, pace bowler especially. This is not India's first choice or maybe India's second choice of, fast bowlers to use in a test series in Australia. Because we have two players who made their debut during this series and then Jasprit Bumrah. Saini and Siraj taking regular wickets. Bumrah also, he suddenly become the senior among the pace bowlers. But you see him making those contributions, having a talk with the players. So that's really great to see as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think India have been seriously handicapped by losing Shami and then, of course, Umesh Yadav. Because not that Siraj and Saini haven't bowled well, but they are, rookies. They are raw. They're inexperienced. Some part of that showed when Green and Smith, started and Payne started cutting loose. That defensive line or that length which would curb the runs, you couldn't see in Siraj and in Saini, especially in Siraj, while Bumrah was far more in control. And Bumrah, I think, was unlucky because he had a couple of catches again dropped off his bowling. So Bumrah pretty much the leader of the pack, so to speak. And he's got two people to support him, both of whom are very eager, very skillful and very eager to learn. And that's a good sign.
Okay, before we end this podcast, I just want to also talk about that little incident before the end of the Aussie innings. There were about, 6 individuals in the stands who were making some comments at Mohammad Siraj. Siraj actually stopped Bumrah midway through his run up and, the team converged and they talked to the match referee and then they, of course, got those 6 players, 6 spectators, can't really call them fans, spectators, removed from the stadium. And we do know that this happened with the Indian team yesterday as well. There were reports of Bumrah and Siraj speaking to the umpires as well. So, the first time it happens, you can do the polite thing, you can just complain and, you can just like let the umpires know this happened. But if the fans are going to continue doing that, and we know how strict the rules against racism in other sports is, this is what should have happened. And India absolutely did the right thing in complaining right there in their pointing them out in the stadium and just, making things happen.
I think it was very good. It was brave of Siraj. He's a youngster. Remember, he doesn't have the stature of a Rohit Sharma or a Pujara or Rahane or even a Bumrah in the international cricket. So it was very bold of him to draw the attention of the umpires and then the authorities, first of his own team, his captain, and take it up, because I think this is reprehensible, this racism, which is, it's a malaise. We've seen it on football fields more often than, on football grounds more often than on cricket grounds. But it's afflicting sports all over the world, not the least, even in the US. This whole Black Lives Matter became a big issue, as it should be. And it's not just about the color of the skin, or a particular color of the skin. It should apply to all kinds of bigotry and racism. And I'm actually happy that the Australian authorities or the Sydney authorities took immediate, definitive action and threw them out of the ground. And what I hear and what I read from the press release put out by Cricket Australia, that they will prosecute this matter thoroughly. I think this is exactly what needs to be done. Just as a reminder, in 2008, something similar happened with the Australian team at the Brabourne Stadium and, you know, against Andrew Simons. And that time also some spectators were picked up, arrested, you know, FIR lodged against them. They were charge sheeted. They were not allowed to go to re-enter any cricket ground in Mumbai. I think these are the punitive actions that need to be taken.
Yes, that indeed was the right thing to do. And thank you so much for joining us today. We'll, of course, be back on after day 5 of this test. Thank you, Ayaz.
Thank you, Mendra. Thank you so much.
And thank you all for listening to the Aussie Challenge podcast with Ayaz Memon on The Quint, powered by Farm Easy, India's largest online pharmacy and Medibuddy.
Thanks for listening. Log on to the Quint website and check out our other podcasts.